Good morning, Agape Church. Merry Christmas and a coming new year as well. What a joy to be here. How you've honored Linda and I, your pastor, his family. The kind words this morning. I'm extremely humbled by this fact that nobody's ever done this for us before, and taking this special offering, but his kind words in sharing what took place, it was actually 1974, is the only time I was in Asia was 74, and as well, who came forward in that service was Dr. Joshua Yee, who pastors Renewal Lutheran Church. He also answered the call in terms of ministry. So I've been abundantly blessed by your pastor, his family, and now you folk for many, many years. You've tolerated my persecuting the saints, showing up here and preaching in my loud Pentecostal voice and Pentecostal old-time preaching, where you have kindly shared with us in so many ways. And not only that, but you've looked after many of our missionaries that we've sent here. And whether you know it or not, Pastor doesn't know them that well, but his name is Mark Matthews. Not Matthew, but Mark Matthews and his wife, Rutsu. Now, Mark served with me for many years before Rutsu showed up. And David Wilkerson, the founder of Teen Challenge, who has been my mentor for many, many years before he went to heaven at Times Square Church in New York, contacted us here and asked if we could provide a videographer, somebody who would do all of his taping for him and such. So I sent him Mark Matthews from Kuala Lumpur, and he went and served there for a number of years and stole away this youth worker out of Times Square Church in New York City and brought her back here, his lovely wife, Rutsu, who's from Madagascar, and they have three handsome sons who I am now working out a bride price in terms of my granddaughters. I've got a good number of granddaughters around the same age, so I'm asking for camels and sheep and various things that they could provide because he's got a farm out there nearby here, and Mark and Rutsu have been very dear to Linda and I, to our family for many, many years. I was at their wedding, helped be involved in that, and they've been with us in our home in the United States. So they brought their friend along with them today who's from this area. And so I just greet you from Linda and I. Both of us have had the warranties run out on our body parts, in that I have had cataract surgery on both of my eyes. So you are in high definition now, and you are beautiful. I can tell you, I was losing my eyesight for 10 years. And then Linda had a knee replacement, and so she's not able to be here right now. She's going to come out and meet me, hopefully for Chinese New Year, or when I go back through in England and be with our kids there in Manchester, England. So it's a pleasure to be with you and to receive your kindness. Pastor, what a beautiful way to talk about our friendship together, and you do it so well, and so honored for Linda and I to hear those words and to be here with you folk today. Now, on the table outside there, I have a lot of my sermon tapes, good old Pentecostal preaching. This is entitled "The Man Who Sent Himself to Hell," Dr. Luke and Starlight, Starbright. There's three messages on here. And I don't sell them. I just said leave a donation for the missionaries that I support around the world who don't get the pulpit like I do. Many young missionaries don't get to stand before congregations like this. So I use these funds to give away to missionaries and bless them. I've got a beautiful couple that Mark and Rutso know quite well that in Afghanistan, in a very hard area of the world, doing a great ministry there. And we've been supporting them for years. So these funds go towards young missionaries that don't stand here. And then if you don't have anything to give, pick yourself up a CD. Let it be a blessing and encourage you. I just want to get the word out. If you can give me the title of my message this morning on the overhead, please. Beauty and the Beast. This is the time of the year when we celebrate beauty. But also we know that when beauty came into the world, the beast tried to kill every child from 2 years of age and below or above to try and get rid of, as the wise men said, we come to worship him who is the King of Israel. And in that sense, even in the time of beauty called Christmas, the beast is always trying to get his way in to our lives, into the world. And we are very well aware that today is a dark time in our world. No matter where you turn and look, there are wars and rumors of wars. There are divisions in terms of politics. There are struggles that people have, and the beast tries to take away the beauty of Christmas. But Christmas is a great time of beauty. Listen to the beautiful story again in Luke 1, 26 to 35. And by the way, you dear folk back there in the booth, you've upgraded me, haven't you? They've done a good job in upgrading me. I thank you very much. I look very good up here with this material. Thank you, young man, young lady. Listen to the beautiful story again in Luke 1, 26 to 35. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you." She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever. No end ever to his kingdom." Mary said to the angel, "But how? I've never slept with a man." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God." Note the characters in this story. Mary, a virgin girl. The angel, Gabriel. The word of God spoken by the angel, and the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary, the word, and also overshadowing our hope called Christmas, called the joy of Jesus. Each are reminders for us today of the beautiful story of Christmas. First of all, Mary. The beauty of a surrendered heart to God. Thus God is able to send light, love, and favor into our lives. Why? Because somebody said, "Be it unto me as you desire." This morning, by a very visible example of that, Linda and I are being blessed because your pastor is saying to you, "Give as the Lord speaks to you for this man and his wife who has spent 60 years preaching the gospel, 54 years as missionary husband and wife, and 46 of them here in Asia. Be it unto them." Because of that, you have blessed us and our family. Every time somebody says, "Be it unto me, Lord, as you've spoken," just think of the beautiful worship we have, of the worship team that's here, and the singers, and the guitarists, and pianists, and such. All of these have said, "Oh Lord, bless our worship today. Be it unto you as you can inspire us." That's what happens when a congregation of people get together and say, "Lord, be it unto us as you've spoken." Reach our neighborhood, reach our nation. Reach those that are in need of your love and your mercy. Be it unto us. That's why this powerful church is here, so that God could speak at different times to people and say, be it unto you according to the purposes of God. People are fed, ministries are released, lives are changed, and that's what Mary represents to us. Secondly, it's the visitation of an angel. The fact that God is involved in all we do. God knows who you are. He knows where you are. And he knows how you will listen to him. The visitation of heaven. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, as the old song is. Angels are messengers sent to minister to we who are heirs of salvation. But I also remind you that the word angel essentially means messenger. You also can be a messenger this Christmas season. Maybe it's just your smile to somebody else that needs to be refreshed by your kindness shown towards them. You can be an angel as well when you carry a package of food or things that you baked to a neighbor next door and say, "We give this to you at the Christmas season." You can be an angel whenever you give an encouraging note or a Christmas card that you send to a missionary overseas. You can be that kind of an angel. I had bakute yesterday with your pastor. Now, it's one of my favorite foods because your pastor and I are connoisseurs of bakute. He knows all the best bakute places here and also in KL. And I've eaten a lot of bakute with Benjamin and his family. And so I was eating with him yesterday and I said, "Benjamin, did I ever tell you the story of a visitation from heaven that saved my life? Because I love to fish and I do a lot of fishing when I'm back in the United States on my free time. And also I like not only lake and river fishing, but ocean fishing." Now my son-in-law, Reagan Wagner, and my oldest daughter, Deanna, pastor a church in Sugar Land, Texas, of 1,000 people there. And they wanted to take me fishing with his father and his brother. So we had Burt Wagner, the father, Art Wagner, the brother, and Reagan Wagner, the son-in-law of mine, and myself. Now, we were all suited up in waders because we were going out into the Gulf of Mexico and then turning back towards the shoreline and doing wading in an area in which we could fish for reds. They're very delicious fish, and they run in shallow areas. But we were first going out of the harbor and into deep water, and Art was piloting the boat. That was a low draft boat that you could go into very shallow areas, but you could also go into the ocean area. And so Art said, "I've never driven this boat before, so when we get out of the harbor, I'm going to hit the throttle and we're going to go quite fast. I just want to test it out." And so we were, Reagan and I, my son-in-law, were sitting on the front on a very heavy bench and were holding on to the bars there. And they were right behind us piloting the boat, Art and his father, Bert. And so we went out of the harbor and he hit the throttle and it took off. And he said something behind me, but I didn't understand what he said. He actually said, "Oh, somebody lost their hat." And that's when I was aware my hat had flown off. And he said, "I'm going back to get it." Well, he had never piloted this boat before, and it had his old boat had a very hard steering radius, but this one had a real easy one. But he turned it as hard as he did on his old one, and that boat turned on its side and threw all of us off the boat into the water with the motor still running. That key was supposed to come out hooked onto his suit, but it didn't come out. And the only one left on the boat was my son-in-law, Reagan. He fell to the floor. And when he was aware the boat's going around in circles and nobody's here except me, he got up, ran around, and shut the boat. But what he didn't know, as I was flying through the air, I said, "Oh no, I've got waders on. They're going to fill up with water and it's going to pull me into the ocean." And when I was flying, I took a big breath of water, of air, took a big breath of air, knowing I was going to go under. And when I came up underneath the boat. I heard the motor running. I said, oh no, I'm under the boat. The motor is running. It's going to chop me to pieces. And all of a sudden it shut off. And everything went quiet because my son-in-law shut it off. But I didn't know where I was. Was I at this end of the boat? Was it the back near the motor? Was I in the middle? Where was I? And all of a sudden, I began to sink. My waders filled up with water, and I was a dead man. I just lifted my hands like this, and I said, oh, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And I was going to heaven. And all of a sudden, this awesome voice spoke and said, do you want to live or do you want to die? I raised my hands high and I said, I want to live. And my hand came out the side of the boat. They were looking for me and they caught my hand and pulled me up. It's the only time my son-in-law ever kissed me on the cheek. And he said, how could I explain to your daughter, my wife, that I took you fishing and drowned you? Oh, my friends, we have visitations today that are real, that are meaningful, that are helpful, that are glorious. And I declare over you in 2020, angel visitations, the voice of God from heaven, the blessings that come with a beautiful Christmas season, because he lives, we live also. Hallelujah. Not only are these beautiful reminders, Mary, surrendered heart, visitation of an angel, the fact that God knows where you are, but also the power of the word. It speaks to us today what God desires for us to know, what's written in his spoken word and written word for our destinies to be released. I want to remind you, church, we're always just one generation away. That's 40 years. We're all just one generation away from totally losing our dependence on the word of God. Always in one generation away, people lay down the Bible. They lay down Bible study. They lay down discipleship. They forget about the word of God speaking who they are and what they're supposed to live and what they're supposed to understand. Oh, young people, listen to me. Memorize the word. Study the word. Look at the word of God on a consistent basis. It is the speaking word. It is the written word. It is the word that tells us who we are in life and where we're going in life and what the outcome of life is going to be. Don't let the word of God be stolen from you. I grew up in a generation where there were four boys and four girls in our family, and mom and dad looking after us. And every morning and evening, dad would have all eight of us children sitting on a long couch here, and mom on the end in a chair. And dad would walk back and forth reading the scripture for the day until we went through a whole year of reading the word of God before his family. And then in the evening, he would do the same thing and lead us in prayer for the night. One morning, he stood in front of us. He read the word. He prayed and he held up a piece of paper. And he said, kids, this is a bill that I owe. It's 3 weeks overdue, and I've got to pay it today. Pray that God would send a word, an answer to me to find how to pay this bill. So we prayed. We forgot about it in our childish way, but we came back home that evening, and we had the evening prayer and Bible study time, and dad held up that piece of paper, and it had a big red chop on it that said, paid in full. He said, on my break in the afternoon, he said, I drove around the courthouse square and a piece of paper fluttered across the cab of the pickup and fell into the gutter. I stopped out of curiosity and picked it up, and it was a $10 bill. I waited for somebody to come and claim it. I drove around the square again. Another paper fluttered across and fell in the gutter. I picked it up, and it was another $10 bill. I waited there for 30 minutes for somebody to come and claim it. Nobody came. I went and paid the bill. Why? Because God's in the business of answering prayer, of providing for his word, of opening doors of miraculous provision and intervention. I say to you, friends, let's let the word of God keep speaking faith, keep speaking life, keep opening doors of opportunity. God's word will not fail you. Christmas reminds us that God is a speaking God in today's world. And last of all, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, overshadowed the spoken word, and released that power. I remind you, the Holy Spirit is the CEO, COO, CFO, and CTO of everything about life and ministry. He's the chief executive officer. He's the chief operating officer. He's the chief financial officer. And he's the chief technical officer of everything that happens in your life and mine. Let the Holy Spirit be in charge of your life. Let the Holy Spirit overshadow you. Let the Holy Spirit come upon you. Let the Holy Spirit give you revelation. You will never go wrong when you have a cup of tea or a cup of tea tarik gurang manis every morning and you set it there at the table, set an empty coffee cup for the Holy Spirit and have a conversation with the Holy Spirit in the morning. Say to him, lead me, Holy Spirit. Speak to me today. Open doors of opportunity for me to witness. Guide my children. Guide my family. Oh, friends, Job reminds us of that. Every morning he got up and he made a special offering to God. He said, in case my children have taken your name in vain or have done something wrong, I will offer unto you. Do that with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to guide you. Ask him to bless you. Ask him to teach you and your children how to walk in the things of God. And therefore, Christmas reminds us of this beauty. Someone to say, be it unto me as God desires. An angelic visitation to protect your life and to give you encouragement. The power of God's spoken word that tells who you are, what you are, and where you're supposed to be going. And the overshadowing Holy Spirit giving life to this spoken word that God has for you. So, we introduce the true beauty, which is the person Jesus Christ. Psalms 27. Would somebody come and open this for me? Psalms 27. Just leave it unopened. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty and view a land that is afar off. This is the true beauty of Christmas, the person of Jesus Christ. That's what Mary was given to bring into the world. That's what the angel was trying to say and to the shepherds and to all of us, peace on earth, goodwill towards man. There's born a Savior, Christ the Lord. The true beauty is the person of Jesus Christ at this Christmas season. Now meet the beast, Isaiah 14, 12 to 17. What a come down this, O Babylon, day star, son of dawn, flat on your face in the underworld mud. You, famous for flattening nations, you said to yourself, I'll climb to heaven. I'll set my throne over the stars of God. I'll run the assembly of angels that meets on sacred Mount Zaphon. I'll climb to the top of the clouds. I'll take over as king of the universe. But you didn't make it, did you? Instead of climbing up, you came down. Down with the underground dead. Down to the abyss of the pit. People will stare and muse. Can this be the one who terrorized earth and its kingdoms? Turned earth to a moonscape, wasted its cities, shut up his prisoners to a living death. This is the beast that tries to make Christmas unbearable, suicidal, dark times in people's lives. They tell us that at Christmas and other such holidays, people get depressed more than at any other time. It's the work of the beast. Jesus understood that his mission will ultimately lead to his death. He was on a collision course with the religious and political powers of his day. The beast always wants power over beauty, to control it, and if not, to conquer it. In fact, the beast in us does not want to yield to beauty. Even at Christmas time, people fight against the reality of giving, the reality of tenderness, the reality of the Christmas story. Even in my country, America, we're taken to court every single year for having nativity scenes outside of public places for people to celebrate the name of Christ. They only want them to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Forgiveness is beauty. Unforgiveness is beastly. To bring beauty into the world, Jesus had to enter through the beauty of human birth and leave the world through the beastliness of human death. But he made both birth and death beautiful by the power of his resurrection. And we can say, because he lives, we live also. The great beauty of Jesus was actually his touch, his ability to touch lives. Matthew 14:36, and they begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Mark 3:10, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. They came to Bethesda. Some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Luke 24, Jesus said, look at my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Hebrews 11:28, by faith he kept the Passover and application of the blood so that the destroyer, the beast of the firstborn, would not touch the firstborn of Israel. As a human, Jesus was a tactile person. He needed to touch the world in which he lived. He touched the feet of his disciples as he washed them, teaching that they were to serve one another. He touched the bread and the wine to show us that to touch heaven, we must also partake of his sufferings. He touched the sides of the temple to show that religion would be destroyed and raised again in the hearts of a family called the Church of the Living God. He constantly touched the poor to show that they were the first to enter into the kingdom of God through simple faith in him. He touched the whip in the temple to show that the judgment and justice would begin in the house of God. He touched the reins of the simple donkey as a king being led through the streets of Jerusalem. He touched history as it is called AD and BC. He touched the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit that is made alive within our hearts, because he would one day touch a wooden cross of human suffering and make that cross something beautiful. And he's touched each one of us in this room with his love and with his forgiveness. He's touched the entire world with this message that we celebrate called Christmas, the season of compassion, the season of God's love, the season of forgiveness, where we meet them off and receive new life in Christ. In other words, Jesus is the touching King of glory. Now he asks us to touch the world by our prayers, by our giving, and by our going. As he touched, so must we touch. We are to touch the neighborhoods and the nations in which God sends us to. We are the touching, redeemed people of God. He touched us with gifts of the Spirit and fruits of his nature so that we could be great commissioned men and women. Beauty overcomes the beast by a touching Christ living within us. There are three ways in which Jesus showed how he brings beauty to the world. From John 12:31, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. Number one, Jesus said, I will be lifted up. This is the picture that you and I have of the truth of Christianity. A beastly cross becomes a thing of beauty that we live by and we rejoice in. Crucifixion was a Roman invention to control the masses. The word or picture of the cross was never spoken of in polite Roman society. But Jesus said, I will turn this beastly thing into a thing of beauty for all mankind. I will be lifted up. Do you remember Nicodemus, the religious teacher of his day, came to Jesus at night, and Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And he said, how can I enter back into my mother's womb again? And Jesus said, what the Spirit does is way beyond what man's able to do. It's like the wind. It blows where it desires. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going to. He said, aren't you a religious teacher, and you do not know that when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, when the people were bitten by the serpent and said, if you look towards that brass serpent, you will heal. He said, that's what the message I've come to bring. If you look towards the cross, if you look towards the Savior of the cross, if you look towards that Christmas story, Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, you will discover I must be lifted up and I will draw all men to myself. The gold and silver crosses that we wear around our necks show and gave the proof of how he turned that beastly cross into something that we see as beauty. The old song that most of us gray hairs remember, oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. For the dear Lamb of God left his beauty above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For the dear Lamb of God left his beauty above to pardon and sanctify me. That's why we look at the cross as beautiful. We look at the cross as glorious. We look at the cross not in terms of Roman crucifixion, but in terms of Christ's redemptive power, where he said, it's finished, it's finished. And in that sense, the cross for us is something beautiful. Secondly, Jesus said, now is judgment on this world. So often, church, it seems like darkness is winning. Pain and sorrow and sin abound every day around us. John 1, 4, and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The trial of Jesus in the court of Pilate was the trial of the world in the court of God. Twice Pilate brought Jesus before him, once for a personal interrogation. Are you king of the Jews? He said. Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. It will not come the normal way that kingdoms are established. No wars, no fighting armies, no violence, no fleeing refugees. But my kingdom will come in righteousness and peace and joy as provided by the Holy Spirit. It will come in beauty to destroy the beastliness of sin and sorrow and suffering. And those who receive this truth from me, they will follow me and they will receive eternal life. But Pilate asked this question that's always been there. What is truth? So he sends Jesus out to be beaten. Now with purple robes of kingly beauty and kingly crown of thorns upon his head, he returns to Pilate, and this time Jesus is totally silent. Pilate says, speak up. Do you not know I have the power to give you freedom or crucify you? And at that very moment, the beastliness of man comes out. The beastliness of Pilate comes out. The beast that's inside of all of us when it's not governed by righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The beastliness of world order that wants to dominate love and destroy Christianity and destroy the faith that young people are trying to get in their lives and moms and dads are trying to teach in their home. The beastliness of Pilate comes out because now he has beauty in his grasp. Here is the truth, beauty. I'll tell you what truth is. The power of this natural order is the only reality show in town, and I'm in charge of it. Oh, friends, how often do we think we're in charge of our own lives? How often do we pretend to be the conqueror of our own soul? How often do we speak with beastly attitudes? Don't tell me what to do. God cannot control my life. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of prayer. I'm tired of hearing Christian messages. My little sister's name is Reba. Reba's husband, Pete, was her whole life. Pete was such a talented man, such a strong man. And Reba lived her whole life looking after Pete in the family. She raised her three children, but Pete was her shining star. But Pete had a major heart attack, a stroke, and he died. And Reba didn't know what to do. She was lost. Her son had bipolar issues. And if he stayed on his medication, he was okay. He was fine. But when he got off of medication, he would fight anybody, say anything. And after Pete's death, the boy could not control his anger towards God, his anger towards anyone and everyone, because for the boy, his dad was also his hero, his idol. And his dad was the one who kept the boy out of trouble and kept him on his medication. But now that dad's not there and mom's not strong in her own way, both of them are brokenhearted and both of them are angry at God. I call her one day and say, "How's your son doing?" And she said, "Oh, Irv, he's back in trouble. He got arrested and now he's in jail. If only Pete were here." I could hear the cry in her voice. "If only Pete were here, this would not be happening." I said, "Reeb, let me pray with you over the phone." She said, "No, I'm tired of prayers. I'm tired of Christians like you telling me that God's here when God's not here and he doesn't show up at all. I don't want to hear it." And she slammed the phone down and wouldn't let me pray for her. The beast does that to us. The beast causes us to say, "Where's God when I really need him? Where's love when I really want it? Where's hope when I'm really looking for it?" The beast lies to us at the Christmas season and says it's just a nice story. "I'm not going to buy any gifts this year. I'm not going to say anything nice this year." And the beast has us in his grasp. Darkness is there. You best knuckle under and cry out for mercy. "I'm the final word here," says Pilate. "I'm the final action here," says the beast. But church, beauty is more than skin deep. Beauty is God deep. And beauty can heal in the darkest times of our life. "Yes, I am a king," Jesus said, "for this I was born. But your earthly truth of the beast controlling me does not impact me at all. Don't you know I can call to my Father and he'd send 12,000 angels and speak truth to your power?" John 16, when he comes, he will prove the world to be the wrong about sin, righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. God had to have his justice and judgment satisfied. Christmas is really about God's need for justice and judgment. Christmas is not as much about us as it is about God having the world reconciled. Because in Genesis it said it repented God that he had made man. Because the first Adam disobeyed, but the second Adam, Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin that we might become the what? Righteous need of God. God had his need for justice and his need for righteousness. When he beat up Jesus on the cross, he was taking care of the sin of humanity against the purposes of God. Christmas is about God saying, I'm not angry any longer with man, past, present, and future. You're cleansed. You're forgiven. You're made righteous in Jesus Christ. God's judgment poured out upon the world. Thirdly, he said, I will draw all men to myself. I will draw all men to myself. We are free. We are forgiven. We have beauty living inside of us. He said, now is the prince of this world driven out. In other words, he said, the beast is no longer in control. There's a new king. There's a new Lord of the vineyard. There is the resurrected son that has come to say, beauty reigns in the world today. Oh, I know it doesn't look like it when you read the newspapers and watch television and listen to people talk at the coffee shop, but I want to declare to you, and you know it to be true, beauty is in charge of planet Earth today. Jesus is the Lord of the world. All belongs to him. It doesn't look like it, but it's true. And when I live like it, and you live like it, and we declare beauty is in charge of our lives, I'm going to smile beauty. I'm going to give beauty. I'm going to talk beauty. And we overcome. I will draw all men. As I am lifted up on this beautiful cross, I will draw all men unto myself. Beauty has won. There's beauty in our brokenness. There's beauty in our pain and sorrow today. Beauty has called us to this moment. Your fiery trial will not defeat you. There was beauty himself in another fire where three young Hebrew men were tossed into a furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They said, it's true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the fourth one has the beautiful appearance like the Son of God. Beauty shows up in the strangest places. Beauty is never silent in dark times. Beauty shouts, Lazarus, come forth. 1 Corinthians 15, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through beauty, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved church, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the beauty of the Lord's work, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Beauty has won. Finally, we understand the beauty of Christ's death on the cross so this church could be planted, so that your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren could have the Word of God given to them, VBS and times of teaching and instruction, songs that are sung, even as you showed on the video of what your church is doing today. It was so that missionary teams could be sent out. It was so that you could reach children in terms of homeschooling. In Zechariah 13:1, oh, that day there shall be opened a fountain for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanliness. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, and there has you, though vile as we, washed all our sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God are safe to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Beauty wins. Beauty wins. That's what Christmas is all about. Beauty has defeated the beast in the world. God's satisfied now. He's been lifted up. He's drawing all men to himself. And the day will come when, because of this righteous Son of God, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, heaven and earth and below the earth, to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus is Lord and his Father reigns supreme. Bow your hearts in a word of prayer. Beauty, come. Beauty, we know who you are. You are the righteous Son of God. You are the one who says, Lazarus, come forth. You are the one that turns darkness into light. You are the one who forgives the vilest sinner. You take the murderer. You take the rapist. You take the liar and the thief. And you send the beauty of your word, saying, be forgiven. Receive hope. No matter how vile our sins have been, beauty woos us to the cross. Beauty woos us to the presence of God. Father, you are now the hound of heaven, nipping at the heels of those that the beast is harassing right now in this room. The beast is lying to you, saying you don't need Christmas. The beast is lying to you, saying that Christmas is just a story. As our musicians are singing and you're listening to the words, let the Holy Spirit call you back to beauty.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest
beauty is calling you today.
But holy
beauty wants to set you free from the darkness of beast. It's Jesus that is the true story of Christmas. When the angel announced it, it was for you today. It was not some distant story in the past. It's for now. It's for this moment. Cornerstone. Weak made strong. The beast cannot defeat you. Beauty wins. It's more than skin deep. Beauty is God deep. Stand to your feet. Sing this song. Sing it with us.
Savior's love. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm. He is Lord.
Listen to me, church. Here's God's Christmas announcement to you. Has darkness entered back into your life somewhere in 2019 and you brought it to church with you this morning? Have you had a dark week? Have you had dark announcements? Have you had dark thoughts? The Lord wants to today, right now, at this altar, destroy the beast lies over your life. Health issues, financial issues, family issues, personality issues. The beast wants to say for you to stay in darkness, but beauty wants to bring the light. He said if he was lifted up, God would deal with justice and judgment, and he would draw you to himself. So for those of you that this message is for you today, in one way or another, it makes no difference how it comes into your spirit, man. You say, I need beauty to set me free for 2020. I need beauty to free me from darkness. For any reason, any dark areas, you want the beauty of Christmas to fill your heart. I want you to come and stand for an impartation prayer right now with this apostolic father. You come. You need beauty. There's some areas of darkness that have come to your life. Don't look around and see what others are doing. You come. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you. That's beauty speaking to you. That's beauty wooing you into the presence of God. Come and receive beauty. Come and receive beauty. Whatever's happened to you in your life, come and receive beauty today. Come in close. Come in close, making room for everyone. Do you need beauty for a son or daughter? Do you need beauty like my sister Reba? You need somebody to pray for you. You need some darkness brought out of your life. Don't give up on Christmas. Don't give up on the beauty of Christ. Don't give up on forgiveness. Don't give up on hope that does not make ashamed. No matter what you've done wrong, no matter where you've tripped up in your life, beauty cares. Beauty is God deep. Beauty wants to put its arms around you and love you. Beauty wants to say, be forgiven. Beauty wants to say, here's Christmas. Be free at this Christmas season. Beauty wants to open the door for 2020 that you would live in the beauty of forgiveness and the beauty of life in Jesus Christ. Have you walked away from him? Have you cursed him? Have you been upset with the living God? Have you said, I'm not going to pray anymore? I'm not going to talk about him anymore. Come back to beauty. That's the lie of the beast. Come back to beauty this very moment.